with the 11th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, my Chicago Bears select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
All right, I'm sorry it has taken me an entire hour to say Justin Fields. No, wait a minute. I got it in with Zach there Bears. At the end. Yeah, Bears. Here we are. You know, I try to spread it around a little bit, talk some White Sox, talk some Cubs, but we now have a Bears hour. It is Mark Grody with you here on The Score until 9 o'clock. Talk some Bulls in about 1 hour from now. Rick Camp does the Bulls postgame show, and we will have him on at that time. Only 4 games left for the Bulls. One guy who I have yet to hear from, at least on the radio, is Aaron Lemming. He covers the Bears, CBS Sports' Bear Report, Windy City Gridiron. He joins us now here on The Score. What's going on, Aaron? How are you, man?
Doing good. Is it weird to say that Bears Hour may actually be somewhat positive this time?
Oh, my God. Everything changed. Everything changed on that fateful Thursday night in the draft. The Bears are trading up. The Bears are trading up. And then you just heard the pick is in. It's Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State. Aaron, what were you thinking? What was your reaction when the Bears did that?
Well, my original reaction was, please do not trade up for Mac Jones. I mean, let's be honest, because I mean, I think that was probably in the back of both people's minds. It was like, okay, you know, you got a chance to do the right thing. Everything fell your way. I mean, I'm still shocked. I mean, it's the amount of things that had to happen for the Bears to even be able to get in the position to be able to trade up, find a trade partner, you know, all the way at 11. I think most people had thought if Fields didn't go number 3 overall, he was going to go somewhere within probably the top 9. And all of a sudden you're in a position where, you know, you're looking at 11. They trade away, obviously, a first round pick for next year as well. And, you know, a little bit more, but I mean, all things considered, if that's all you have to give up, assuming that he is their franchise quarterback, with obviously we're going to have to see what happens. But I mean, if that's all that they had to give up in order to get him and it all works out, I think you do that trade every single time.
How do you want to see the Bears handle Justin Fields?
Well, I think, you know, every quarterback is different, right? I mean, that's kind of the big thing right now. I know a lot of people are kind of locking into the whole, oh, he's not going to play in year one. And there's other people that say, you know, he needs to start right away. I think we're going to know a lot when training camp and preseason happens. You know, I think it's going to be one of those situations where it can't just be Trubisky was better than Glennon, so we have to start him and, you know, in 2017. It can't be that situation. It needs to be, you know, it's a more stable environment now. Obviously, Andy Dalton is nothing great, but at the same time, I think he's also a suitable enough veteran where if Fields isn't ready, if he's not showing what you want to see out of him right out of the gate, then you're comfortable going with him. But I think, you know, at least my opinion, and obviously, again, we need to see what happens in training camp. We need to see what happens in preseason. My personal guess is I think it's probably going to be somewhere on a similar timeline. I'd say probably week six, week seven. I think that seems about right. I don't think they're going to rush him. I don't think they should. But I also don't think, you know, if they get in the camp and they get in the preseason and Justin Fields is clearly better than Andy Dalton and Justin Fields looks like he's NFL ready, then I think you give him the shot. I don't think this is a Patrick Mahomes situation. I don't think this is some of the other situations that have popped up over the last few years where you want to sit the guy the entire time. But I think, you know, we've kind of seen it all play out, even with a team like the Chargers, where they had every intention of continuing to sit out Herbert. Clearly he was ready because of the numbers that he put up and how good he was, but it took an injury to Tyrod Taylor for him to get a shot.
It's such a weird year for the Bears too. Like when you add in Justin Fields, and that is what the Bears are right now in terms of what everybody's talking about, and this the new, it's coming. It's on the come for sure. But at the same time, you still have this defense, which did not live up to expectations last year, and even to a lesser degree the year before, the other 8-8 season. But the window is still there to some degree for the Bears defense. So I guess the question is, with Justin Fields or without Justin Fields, what should the expectations be for the Chicago Bears next year in terms of win-loss and potential playoffs?
Well, I and this is maybe where I'm going to be a little bit of a downer, but I don't think the overall viewpoint of this, the 2021 season has really changed, though. I mean, obviously, a lot of this hinges on what goes on with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, because if Aaron Rodgers leaves, Green Bay is not going to be a good team. I mean, I don't care really what quarterback you plug in the situation that they're going to be in. They're not going to be a good team, and maybe that division opens up a little bit. But I think when you look at the Bears roster, there's still a lot of question marks. I mean, you pointed out the defense hasn't been, you know, a lot of people want to talk about wasting the elite defense and doing all that. But, I mean, this is a defense that's been on the decline for 2 years now. And then now you're talking about being without your best corner in Kyle Fuller. You're talking about guys on the, you know, defensive side of the ball getting older. I mean, the secondary right now has got to be at least somewhat of a question, at least at corner. I mean, you've got obviously Jalen Johnson going in their second year, and I think he has a really high ceiling, but health has been a question with him even going back to Utah. And then after that, there's a lot of question marks. It's like, can you really rely on a guy like Desmond Trufant to actually play a full season? And if you look at his, you know, numbers over the last few years and his body of work, I mean, he hasn't played. I think even if you combine the last two seasons together, I don't think it combines for a full season. So I think there's definitely still some questions on the defense side of the ball. I think really and truly the overall focus, though, has to have changed for the Bears. Obviously, you know, you look at the offensive side of the ball, you know, not only did they get Justin Fields in the draft, but obviously Tevin Jenkins, and it looks like they're going to move him over to left tackle, which is going to be an interesting move. But now you're kind of looking to build that offense. And I would, you know, in a ideal world, I'd love to see them get something done with Allen Robinson. I don't think that's going to happen still, but now the focus kind of gears towards 2022 and beyond, because now you're going to have this situation where you have hopefully your quarterback of the future and hopefully your offensive tackle, let's say offensive tackle of the future and Jenkins. I mean, that's two really, really expensive spots that they have control for the next 4 years. And when you look at Justin Fields, even with a fifth-year option, that's still going to be worlds cheaper than it would if you had a quarterback, you know, going into a second contract, making $35, $40, $45 million a year, depending on what it's going to be there. So in terms of looking at their cap space and how things kind of moving forward into 2022, things are going to open up a lot. Obviously, they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to have $100 million to spend next year, even if the cap goes up, you know, $10, $15 million. But I do think, at least now with a guy like Justin Fields, there's hope for the future. There's that road, and I heard this, and I can't remember who said it, but he said it perfectly. There's that road to get out of Bears quarterback purgatory and to be able to get in a position where you could finally build towards the future. You finally have your quarterback. Because you look at a lot of these teams right now, and a lot of the teams that are successful for the most part have that quarterback under a rookie contract or just transitioning out of that so you can spend other resources elsewhere. So I'd say 2021 in terms of the outlook probably doesn't really change that much. You're probably looking at 7, 8, 9 wins if they're really lucky. But, you know, in terms of the overall future and what things hold beyond this year, I think is limitless at this point.
Mark Carty talking to Aaron Lemming here in our Bears Hour on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You mentioned Tevin Jenkins, the second-round pick of the Bears out of Oklahoma State. And, it is looking like he will play left tackle. First of all, what did you think about the releasing of Charles Leno?
Well, I thought it was a bold move. I get it. I mean, you know, they needed that $9 million in cap space that clears after June 1st. I understand. But, man, you're taking a decent gamble here. You know, I really like Tevin Jenkins. I actually had him mocked the Bears at 20th overall. I thought he was, a really good right tackle prospect with the ability to possibly move over to left tackle in the future. You throw him over at left tackle right out of the gate. I think the clear thing right now for the Bears is they want maulers. They want guys with nastiness on the offensive line. I mean, even a guy like, Larry Borum, that was another pick that, although I thought he went a little higher than he should have, it was kind of a weird draft. I thought he went a little higher. I had him more as a 6th or 7th round pick, but they both have the clear traits of, you know, being that guy that's going to, you know, pancake guys and be the aggressive maulers. And I think that's kind of the anti-Charles Leno. And that's not anything against Charles Leno, because I know he got a lot of crap from a lot of fans, you know, me included at times. But to go from a 7th round pick to a guy where nobody even knew if he was going to make the roster in his rookie year to all of a sudden starting as many games straight as he did and becoming the type of piece and player that he did as a 7th round pick, especially at left tackle. I mean, that's an incredible feat on its own. And, you know, so I hope everything works out for Leno, and I hope, hopefully he ends up getting a deal pretty soon. And again, there's some risk involved with it, but it's clear the Bears have a plan moving forward to how they want to kind of mold this offensive line. And it's going to be very interesting to see if they made the right gamble, especially moving Jenkins over the left tackle in year one.
Yeah. I mean, and then becomes the question of, you know, assuming they keep things the way they were at the end of the season on the inside with Sam Mustipha at center. And obviously, hopefully you will have James Daniels back at one of the guard spots along with Cody White here. Assuming that stays the same, who do you like at right tackle? Is it Borum? Is it who's the kid? Elijah Wilkinson? Is it Ifedi? Who do you like over there?
Well, I think the first shot's got to go to Ifedi. I mean, in terms of who I like, I don't know if I like anybody at that spot. I think Larry Borum's a guy that does have a quality ceiling. I can see why they took him in the fifth round, but he's also a guy, and I know he got down to in the 320s, you know, for his pro day or whatever. But if you watch him at Mizzou last year, I mean, he's a big guy. I mean, there's really just no other way to put it. He's not very, very athletic. I mean, he's more of a plotter. And I think especially in this blocking scheme with Juan Castillo, it's going to be an interesting fit. I think ultimately if he wants to play at, you know, 330, 340, I think they're going to end up having to slide him inside. I think if he's going to play tackle, he needs to probably be about 315, 320, and he needs to be able to gain some of that looseness back. So I think, you know, if I had to go the safe route right now, I think Ifedi makes the most sense. I mean, realistically, when he took over for Bobby Massey, when they slid him outside to right tackle, he actually performed, you know, pretty decently well. And if I remember right, I don't think he gave up a sack in the times that he started after taking over for Massey. So, again, I mean, you talk about those tackles, and there's some risk involved. I understand why they did it, but there's definitely some risk involved. And I think if you look at this offensive line as a whole, you can see the potential and you can see why they did things the way that they did things. But I also don't think that the moves that they made and some of the risks that they take or that they took, I don't think it's any guarantee that this offensive line is going to start off better than it ended last year.
All right. So we've talked about the first couple of picks, or actually three of them now with Larry Borum, Tevin Jenkins and Justin Fields. Of the other guys, Khalil Herbert, Daz Newsome, Thomas Graham Jr., Kyrus Tonga, any of these guys stick out to you?
Well, I think Thomas Graham's the one that, you know, he's one of those guys that I think a lot of people had mocked as, you know, a third or fourth round prospect. I think size and, you know, sitting out, you know, or opting out of 2020 kind of knocked him down a little bit. He's a little undersized, not overly athletic, but I think he can be really good in the nickel. I think he's actually going to be somebody, when, you know, we talked about the corner a little bit ago. I think he's going to be somebody who can at least go in and push for a starting spot right out of the gate. Obviously, there's no guarantees there. But I think when you look at some of these other guys, Tonga, I think, is at least solid depth at the nose tackle position. Luckily, they should be getting Eddie Golden back. I mean, there's been no official announcement, but I would assume that's going to be the case. And I think you look at a guy like Khalil Herbert, and you look at a guy like Daz Newsome, and obviously they're pretty good at the positions. I mean, you look at Herbert, and he was kind of one of those guys that really finally broke out this last year and had the type of year that everybody was expecting when he was at Kansas. And then you look at a guy, you look at Daz Newsome, and Daz Newsome's one of those guys where he's, in my opinion, he's a little limited athletically. He's a little bit limited in terms of size, but all he did was produce. And that's kind of the thing. Again, you slide him into the slot, and, you know, you slide him in as the punt returner and possibly kick returner and see what he can do. But I think when you're kind of looking at it, it's like they all have their own roles. And I think with Herbert, he's kind of more of a top-end speed guy that you can kind of come in and be the change of pace. He's not really much of a pass catcher. But I think when you look at those two names especially, I think you're looking at special teams value. Khalil Herbert's another one that has some, some kick-returning experience that could bring some value there. And, again, better depth at the running back position. I think with Daz Newsome, I think the hope there would be that he'd end up being your receiver, let's just say 4 or 5, can play some time in the slot. He's got a pretty good route tree, pretty consistent. He freelances at times. But I think, again, when you're looking at special teams value, especially at receiver, they don't have a lot of guys that can play special teams right now, and I think that's going to be big.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and that's usually what, you know, from the sixth round on, or even the fifth round on, a lot of times those are guys that are asked to at least initially be a big part or core of the special teams, and presumably that's exactly what they will be for the Bears. But I want to go back to to wide receiver for the Bears, because we know what you're going to get out of Allen Robinson, and that's probably excellence. I think Darnell Mooney has the chance to take the next step, and he did a lot of good things in his rookie year, but I think there needs to be a jump for him because, Aaron Lemming, Bears don't. There's a lot of indecision beyond those two guys. I don't know if Anthony Miller is going to be on this roster. He was engaged in trade rumors. Javon Wims, Riley Ridley. I mean, I don't want to put any pressure on Daz Newsome, but it seems to me, and tell me if you agree or disagree, they need more production from wide receiver or people catching the football.
Well, 100%. I mean, I think all we have to do is go back and look at the games that Darnell Mooney missed last year, especially in the playoffs. And they really, that's the thing, is when you had Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, and Anthony Miller at times when he's out in the field in the slot, you had at least some quality starters there, right? And obviously, again, Allen Robinson's great. Darnell Mooney had a really good rookie year, like you pointed out. Hopefully he takes that next step, because I think he can be a really good receiver. But again, in today's NFL, you have to have depth at the receiver position. And I think that's kind of where, you bring in a guy like Marquise Goodwin on a free agent deal where he basically got, I think it was like $250,000 guaranteed on a one-year deal. He's not even making $1 million in terms of cap hit. And then, with Demir Byrd was another guy that they signed that, again, he's kind of somewhat, when you look at his numbers, I mean, overall, except for this last year in New England, which was kind of a weird year in New England, I mean, he hasn't really had much production. I mean, he had a little over 600 yards last year. So, but again, those guys are on one-year deals. So it would be fantastic if Newsome can come in and actually carve out a role for himself. But in terms of the depth, I like the depth better. But again, the question really revolves right now around Anthony Miller. What are they going to do with him? If I had to guess at this point, who knows, I'm going to say this and he's going to get released tomorrow. But if I had to guess at this point, I think they're at least going to carry him in a training camp. Because, again, I mean, you look at guys like Javon Wims. I mean, Javon Wims, if anything, provides you some quality depth special teams-wise. Riley Ridley is a former fourth-round pick who was lauded for his route running at Georgia and hasn't been able to get on the field. I mean, you got basically two guys that on most teams would probably be receiver five, receiver six, if they're even on the team. But at least you got some competition there. I think in terms of long-term answers, I mean, obviously, again, we're talking about basically the same situation we were pre-draft, where Allen Robinson is going to be a free agent, but Darnell Mooney is the only guy, and I guess Daz Newsome now, are the only two names that are going to be under contract for 2022 and beyond. And I guess you can count Riley Ridley in there too, but again, I mean, he's a guy that really hasn't seen a lot of snaps. So there's a lot of unanswered questions there. And again, if you're going to throw a rookie quarterback out there, you need to provide him a good offensive line and some good weapons. And I think that's going to also play into the decision on when he starts and, when that happens.
Yeah, and I hate the idea that Allen Robinson is not under contract for the Bears next year as of this moment. What's your gut feeling on that? I mean, the Bears still have until July 15th to potentially get a long-term deal done. Do you think that that is dead in the water, a non-starter, or do you think that something could still happen with Allen Robinson?
I would never say never. I mean, obviously, deadlines always spur deals, but if I had to put money on it, I don't think they're going to get anything done. And it puts them in a weird position going into next offseason. Let's just say that they try to keep him around, but they don't want to tag him again. They don't really have that negotiation period where they can try to lock him up. I mean, they have to wait until the legal tampering period or whatever it's called, legal negotiation period, they keep changing the name on it, begins. So it becomes an interesting situation. And again, I don't know if you want to tag him for a second straight year. I mean, they're going to have more money next year, but that is just a situation that continues to perplex me. And, all the rumors have been that he's looking for $19, $20 million a year, whatever it is. Pay him. It's like you got your quarterback, you got your rookie left tackle, you need pieces on the offense. It's like, here's the thing. Allen Robinson's still 27 years old. So it's like you get him under contract and you let things play out for a few more years. And let's just say at the end of Darnell Mooney's fourth year, if he's turned into the receiver that everybody's hoping he is, and he turns into a solid, number one or number two guy, and maybe you can't afford both of them, at that point, at least you've got Allen Robinson until he's at least 30, and you're probably out of his, guaranteed money by then. But it just, especially in the situation that the Bears are in, with as much focus as on the offense, I think at this point you pay Allen Robinson what he's asking, because, you know, with any other team, with any other quarterback production that he's had throughout his entire career, I mean, we're talking Blake Bortles and Mitchell Trubisky and Nick Foles as his quarterbacks. If you give him a decent quarterback, he's probably widely regarded as probably, I'd say, top five, top 10 receiver at this point. And I still think he's right there. But again, the national perception is different because of the quarterbacks he's played with. I just, at some point in time, I think they got to get something done. I just don't have a lot of faith that it will get done.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine. I mean, I wondered if the drafting of Justin Fields would maybe change things from Allen Robinson's camp. Like, hey, I want to be around for this, so I'd be willing to take less. But I would imagine, Aaron, that's totally and completely unrealistic, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
like, he wants his.
You know,
he wants his.
Exactly, and it would be nice. It really would be nice, but at the same time, I look at Allen Robinson, and I mean, I think we can all agree, if he doesn't tear his ACL that last year with Jacksonville, we're probably talking about a much different contract. We're probably talking $17, $18 million a year instead of the 15. So I think, yeah, I mean, he's looking at the situation where even after the tag, I mean, he's getting basically $18 million guaranteed on this tag. Even after the tag, he's still going to be in the prime of his career with that one big contract left. And I think more than anything, I think what's really ruined this and what's made this a messy situation is the fact that he said multiple times, even with the bad quarterback situation, he wanted to be here. He wanted to be in Chicago. He wanted to retire in Chicago. And again, you can't place the blame 100% on either side. But when you have a guy that wants to be here and you still can't get something done, and it's clear as day that he's your best offensive player, your most valuable offensive player, regardless of who's playing the quarterback position, and you still can't get something done, I think that speaks to the sizable disconnect between Ryan Pace and Allen Robinson's camp. And it's very unfortunate because, I mean, you're talking a guy in Allen Robinson, you give him another 4 or 5 years with the Bears, and he's going to hold every single receiving record that the Bears have ever had. And it's a very unfortunate situation. It's almost somewhat reminiscent to the whole thing with Brandon Marshall, where you felt like everything was going great, and then that one little snag happens. Again, different situations, but, you know, kind of similar feelings. And, you know, here we are.
Last thing I want to ask you, man, are you expecting, or have you thought about any potential surprising releases or cuts like they did with Charles Leno Jr.? Is anybody else that you might be concerned about in that realm that might be on the fringe?
You know, at this point, I don't think so. I think the only thing that might change that is free agent breaks free. Let's just say hypothetically, and again, this is just me guessing, but hypothetically, let's just say Zach Ertz finally gets released after, you know, 5 months of it being rumored. Maybe they cut bait with Jimmy Graham. You know, they could save seven of that $10 million, and, you know, maybe they go after a guy like Zach Ertz, who's a little younger, probably a little more spry, and, you know, probably fits the offense a little bit better. But I mean, outside of that, you know, with the cut of Charles Leno, it's one of those things to save them $9 million. So not only back in a position where they can, you know, they can sign their entire draft class, they can take care of everything else that they need to take care of, they can keep under the cap, and I think more importantly, then you can expand out to 53 when that time comes, you can pay your practice squad, and you still got probably about $3 million to work with in season. And I think, you know, again, barring anything unexpected or anything happening, I don't really see the Bears spending much more money. I mean, even these vet minimum guys, I mean, they're basically counting for $100-150 million against the cap when it's all said and done. So I don't know that there's going to be any need to make any more cuts. And even if they make some, let's say, you know, surprising cuts or anything like that, I think you're talking more like a Riley Ridley or those kind of names where you may end up saving, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars, but I don't see any like Akeem Hicks's getting cut or Jimmy Graham getting cut for the sake of being cut. I think there'd have to be a clear replacement there.
Aaron, great stuff as always, man. Thank you for coming on, and I'm sure I will talk more Bears with you in short order.
Oh, absolutely. I always enjoy it, man. It was good to catch up after the draft. Like I said, it was a little more positive this time. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, I know. Not a lot of holes. Like, I can't really find any right now in the draft. And now they got to do it on the field. I guess that's the big part now, Aaron, is we are building this up to a boil right now with all these picks. And now they have to prove it on the field still. I guess we forget about that.
That is true, but at least it will make, I think, a lot of people, those people that usually, and I'm kind of one of those included usually, where, you know, preseason's kind of meaningless. Luckily, they're going down to three games. I guarantee you everybody is going to be glued to their TV during preseason. I think everybody's going to be glued to their Twitter even more than normal when you guys are out there for camp. I think it's going to be that, at least, and even if they're bad this year, the nice thing is at least we have something to look forward to, kind of like in 2017 with Trubisky. So I think even if they lose or even if they disappoint, it's going to have a different feeling, which is going to make it at least a little bit more fun.
Yep. Thanks, Aaron. I'll talk to you, man.
Absolutely.
Yep, that is Aaron Lemming right there. Yes, there is a Bears minicamp, rookie minicamp, that starts on Friday. And the schedule, actually, the specifics, you know who the Bears are playing, you know their opponents, but the specifics of the Bears schedule and all of the teams in the NFL, that comes on Wednesday. So we'll get to find out, like, the primetime games, you know, tough or easy perceived spots in the schedule, all that fun, and we can go game to game, and all that good stuff will come out Wednesday. Then rookie mini camp Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, going down in Lake Forest as well. And I'm thinking about, you know, training camp as well, and how hyper, that's the word that I keep using when I think about it, how hyper training camp will be again. It's somewhere going to be somewhere between 2017 and the first year that Jay Cutler came in terms of, like, the hype and the attention that is paid to training camp this year for the Bears. I'm Mark Grody, here with you until 9 o'clock. This is our Bears Hour. Rick Camp will join us to talk Bulls about a half an hour from now, but after a quick break, we will continue to talk about the Chicago Bears, and we will hear from Matt Nagy, who was, again, on a national outlet, and we will react to some of the things that he said next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's our job as coaches, to make sure that we get these freaking details right.
God, I love the word freaking. So close to something you can't, and it sometimes it's more satisfying than that other word. It's a certain power to it. That's the Bears head coach, Matt Nagy. I'm Mark Grody with you here until 9 o'clock on The Score. Before we continue our Bears Hour, I've been meaning to read this text because I want Greg to know everything's okay. This is from the 630. We had a conversation in the first part of the show about Tony La Russa and where things are with the White Sox now relative to where they were about a week ago on that fateful Wednesday when things went badly in a 1-0, 10-inning loss to the Reds, which we no longer need to discuss because of that very important sweep that the White Sox had over the weekend. But, yeah, as I said, Greg made a call that, you know, the ratings were not great for the call per other texters and callers. I think there was some defense of Tony La Russa, and he did text me, did Greg, and he said, "Hey, Grody, this is Greg from Tinley Park. Happy to hear my opinion didn't go off well. Maybe that means I'm right." And then he has a theory as well. But Greg, it's okay, man. It's okay. Sometimes we say things and not everybody agrees. So, Greg, I hope you keep calling. I hope you keep texting as well. And if you out there listening would like to call or text, I am open. 312-644-6767 is the number as we continue our Bears Hour here right now. And Matt Nagy has been making the rounds nationally, and he was on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And one of the things that caught my interest of all the things that he said was the question of Matt Nagy going into the season, having had a terrific year in 2018 and then now back-to-back disappointing 500 seasons, is Matt Nagy, the Bears head coach, on the hot seat?
There's a perception going into your fourth year that perhaps you're on the hot seat going into this year. Do you feel that? Do you sense that? Do you care about that? How do you respond to that?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, when you take this position, one of 32 positions in the NFL like I did, it's never all peaches and cream and rosy. There's always going to be times where you hit some adversity and you get challenged and people, that not everybody's going to like you and people are going to disagree with things that you do and things that you say. But I go back to the core of who I am and the people that have surrounded me and supported me from day one. And just kind of like you and I were just talking about, and I rely on that. And I completely understand that in this business, there's a lot of people that have been in my situation, but now it's all about how do you handle it? You know, do you start placing blame? Do you start looking for different reasons as to why you're in this position? Or you just, you know, knuckle up and say, let's go, man. Let's stay positive. Let's stay together. Let's fight through this thing together, meaning our city, our fans, our organization, our players, coaches. And that's what we're going to do. And so now here we are with a great opportunity in front of us to do this thing together. And in the end, who knows which way it's going to go. But I know this, we're going to have fun doing it. And we're going to do everything we can to get this thing back on track and continue to win and get this organization to the top.
As Bears head coach Matt Nagy on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, answering the question as to whether or not he believes that he is on the hot seat. Clearly, that's not a yes or no answer right there. But there is a misperception out there that because the Bears, because Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, who collaborate, and drafted Justin Fields, moved up, that they have bought themselves time, which does not make any sense. Because if the Bears are a 3 or 4 or maybe even 5-win team, I don't know exactly what the cutoff is, their jobs, like most GMs and or coaches in the NFL, will be in trouble. Does it mean that they're automatically out? No, not necessarily. But to say that just because they drafted Justin Fields, if they have a year like that, if it is a dud of a year, their jobs will, of course, be on the hot seat. And hopefully that won't be the case, that this is the formula, the reconfiguring of the offensive line, the quarterback that Matt Nagy needs. The running game started to work towards the end of last season. Hopefully that will all mean that there is success and that there is progress. But if it's a dud of a season, no matter who they have drafted, no matter what their team is, no matter what they are responsible for, of course the Bears will, or Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace will be on the hot seat, and Justin Fields buys them absolutely nothing. So I was looking forward to hearing that response. It was as expected. And I still think that Matt Nagy is a guy who I think, and maybe I'm wrong, you could tell me, 312-644-6767. I think fans still root for Matt Nagy. And he has made his mistakes. He has struggled at times with play calling to the point where he gave up play calling temporarily. But I do think that I think Bears fans like Matt Nagy, but you got to win. And that's the bottom line. The Bears have kept coy about how much security there is, but there is oftentimes not security for teams that win 3 or 4 or 5 games. And you hope that that is not the case next year for the Bears. All right, one more break in this hour. When we come back, more from Matt Nagy. And this time specifically, I want to hear from Matt Nagy about what is this upcoming year supposed to be. I was talking about this with Aaron Lemming. Is there an expectation within the organization for the Bears to go to the playoffs this season? We'll find out next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We got guys that, you know, they want it. And when you want it, you just keep plugging away. And I know it's hard, but trust me, we want it for everybody. We want it for you guys. We want it for us. We want to win. We want to win. We want to win. And we're not going to stop until we do, getting better at fixing everything.
It's Bears head coach Matt Nagy back in November. It's all different now. That's pre-Justin Fields. We are in the post-Justin Fields drafted era of Chicago Bears football, or Chicago Bears football talk, here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And I'm Mark Grody, here with you until 9 o'clock tonight. Been enjoying our Bears Hour here. Going to talk about the Chicago Bulls at 8 o'clock with Rick Camp, who hosts the postgame show. Can you believe there are only 4 games left in the Bulls season? The Bulls have been playing well. They host Brooklyn tomorrow. We'll get into the Bulls in about 10 minutes from right now. But as we were talking about with the Bears head coach Matt Nagy, who was, again, he was on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and we talked about, you know, he's got a good attitude. Obviously, Matt Nagy always seems to have that, and perspective about needing to win coming up next year in order to preserve his job. He didn't say that there was any kind of mandate or edict in terms of wins or losses. But you do have to wonder, what is this season about? Again, everything did change with the drafting of Justin Fields, but you still have a veteran good Bears defense, even though there were problems yesterday or last year against the run game and in certain games like the Green Bay game that were bad for the Bears defense last year. But I think that we could probably bet on the Bears defense being good. So expectations become difficult to figure out at this point when you know that you have the quarterback in waiting, Justin Fields, who will probably be on the bench to start the year. So what does that mean for this year? Let's take a listen to Matt Nagy on that idea.
Are the Bears in win now mode, or are they in development mode, or both?
No, I would say both. We feel like right now with this roster that we've built over the last several years, that we really believe that right now we're in a great position to go out and win a lot of games and win right now. With that said, we are building somewhat of a younger roster now where we as a coaching staff have to be able to develop these players that we're drafting. So there'll be a great plan for that, but we're so excited for the future in the 2021 season. Right now, you know, as we speak, this morning, I'm putting together schedules of the offseason program and how that's going to work with all the new rules, getting into training camp and how that's going to be. But there's an excitement. There's a really good vibe right now in our building. And, you know, we're right there where we need to be. And we have a great mix of veteran leaders and young guys. And so for me and our coaching staff, that's why we do this thing. And it's just very important that our guys understand that. And shoot, anything can happen. So we're ready to rock and roll.
You know, the problem is, and I've been guilty of this before as a sports talk radio host at times, that we give the multiple choice answers, and he gave him the dreaded both. Is it win now or develop, or is it both? And how quickly is the subject of the interview going to devolve to both if we give that option? And I, like I said, I've done it a million times myself, and when I do it, I palm the forehead. Oh man, because you know they're going to go with that. And yet that's the answer. And I guess that is what any logical person would say, that yes, we got to win now. Yes, we got to develop, because there is one very important player on this team that needs to be developed, and that is Justin Fields, and you know, all these guys, Tevin Jenkins and Larry Borum and the rest of the 2021 draft class. I'm actually looking forward to seeing what does happen in game one, because I've been saying all along that I know Andy Dalton is going to start game one. Beyond that, all bets are off. But maybe I'm wrong. And you know, look, Andy Dalton came out and said that he was told he's going to be the starter. Pace and Nagy have backed him up in saying that he is our starter as recently as, you know, draft night and thereafter, and when we heard from Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace and all those Zooms. But I guess how can we don't know what those private conversations were specifically with Andy Dalton. Matt Nagy gave us some generalizations, but it is also a possibility that Ryan Pace and or Matt Nagy, in their conversations with Andy Dalton since his introductory press conference, have told Andy Dalton that, hey, just so you know, there is also the chance that you won't be the starter on day one, in game one this year for the Bears. Like if he does, like I think it was Zach Zabeman had him on earlier, that he was talking about that too. If from the first snap this year in training camp, Justin Fields just looks superior and excellent and like he gets it and like he belongs, there's no reason to waste time. There's no reason to, you know, satisfy feelings for people on the team, you know? So I still if I had to bet, I still think it's going to be Andy Dalton as the starter in game one and probably for the first handful of games at least. But you know, I think that they have to allow for the potential of this being, as we'd like to say, a fluid situation with Justin Fields, that when he comes in and he's just killing it out there, that you absolutely 100% have to put him in. And then, you know, I was talking about this today with somebody at the Score about, and he asked me, is it possible that the Bears will maybe put Justin Fields in certain, like they did with in New Orleans with a couple of quarterbacks in certain packages on certain, like on a 2nd and 4 in game 2 of the season, might they bring in Justin Fields on a spot where you could, you know, throw the ball down the field with his big arm or even run for those 4 yards to get the first down on 2nd down? Will there be packages for Justin Fields? Will that be a way? Will that be part of the plan? Or is it going to be like 2017 where it's let's wait until the end of the year to put him in, or when the lights are out, or when you can afford to sit your starters if the Bears are winning towards the end of the year? So there are so many possibilities. Like I said, rookie minicamp starting this weekend for the Bears, so we'll start to get some semblance of an answer. Obviously, it's not going to be full speed during that, and it's going to be a bunch of rookies out there, so it's going to be hard to really derive anything solid from what happens out there. But at least we'll hear some of the voices and maybe be able to infer from some of the things that they say. So that's going to wrap up our Bears Hour. That doesn't mean we can't talk more Bears later, but coming up next, we are going to talk about the Chicago Bulls as they have 4 games to go this season. They have played well lately. It's important to be seeing Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic back playing games together. Let's find out what their chemistry is like and if it has gotten better and what this Bulls team might look like going forward as in next year. Rick Camp from the Bulls postgame show will join us next year on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.